I'd like to call to order the November 19th, 2020 Stormwater Utility Commission meeting. I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to join us over Zoom here during this meeting. It will take place online to comply with the ongoing social distance requirements and to ensure the community's ability to participate. Urena, can I please have a roll call of all the commissioners?
Vice Chair Brown?
Here.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Here.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Present.
Chair Kupari?
Present.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right, I would like to make some welcome remarks, kind of going over the rules of the Zoom meeting. And again, thank you all for joining us, and thank you, Mayor Winfield, for joining us this evening as well. Tonight's meeting is going to be a bit different than our regular in-person meetings. We still maintain the regular order of business, so the meeting format will remain unchanged. In order to participate, you must be logged into Zoom directly by computer or telephone. The link can be found on the town's website under Meetings and Agenda, Stormwater Utility. Click on the agenda link and the Zoom link will be in the header. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Zoom, I'd like to provide a quick overview on how to participate. Everyone's microphone, except for the chair and the individual that has the floor, will be muted throughout the meeting to ensure as smooth and efficient meeting as possible. Only select staff can turn on your microphone at the appropriate time if you'd like to ask a question or provide comments. I will do my best to let everyone know when that is appropriate to raise your hand for a particular agenda item. If you wish to address the commission on any agenda item or during call to the audience, please raise your hand only when I announce it is appropriate to do so. There are two ways to do this. For those participating on any platform other than by phone, find the select participants icon by scrolling your cursor over the bottom of the screen. This will open the dialog box that lists all participants in the meeting. Scroll down until you find your name and select your name. Once your name is selected, a second box will pop up when you have the option to raise your hand. If you are participating by phone, press *9 to raise your hand. Please wait to raise your hand until the appropriate agenda item has been announced and after I announce the opportunity to do so. Otherwise, we will not be able to discern which topic that you wish to address in relation to the agenda. Our aim is to proceed in a timely and efficient manner. Once your hand is raised, staff will be alerted to your request to speak. This applies to the audience, staff, and members of the Stormwater Utility Commission. So please raise your hand if you have a question or comment after I announce the appropriate time to do so. At the appropriate time, I will call on those with their hands raised to provide questions or comments. I will then announce your name and staff will unmute your access so you can speak. Please make sure you are not also muted on your personal device. Please review the meeting agenda so that you know which item you'd like to speak. Please don't raise your hand until we have made it to that agenda item. As with all Stormwater Utility Commission meetings, please clearly state your name and whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. Also, speakers are limited to no more than 3 minutes. A timer will be used as with in-person meetings, and we ask that you please respect the 3-minute time limit. Sorry about
that. Thank you, Joan.
I would like to move on to the next item, and at this time it is the call to the audience. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda. Pursuant to Arizona open meeting law, individual commission members may ask town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on the future agenda, or respond to criticism made by a speaker. However, the commission may not discuss or take legal action or matter raised during call to the audience. Urena, do we have any indication of a call to the audience today? All right, hearing none, is there any audience in attendance that would like to speak?
I'm sorry, I may have been muted. We do not have any blue cards at this time, blue speaker cards.
Okay, thank you, Urena. At this time, I would like to move on to council liaison comments. And at this moment, the Stormwater Utility Commission does not have any council liaison appointed to it at this time. So I would like to skip that agenda item. The next item is the director's report. This is for informational purposes only. Mr. Spiker, you have the floor.
Chair Kupari, commissioners, thank you.
Today, we'd like to give an update on a few items here. First and foremost is our drainage criteria manual. We've talked about this at a few meetings before. Currently, we have sent out the draft manual for comment to a select group of subject matter experts here in town, along with internal staff here at Oro Valley and our colleagues over at Pima County Flood Control. We're hoping to have comments addressed, get back the information, and have further dialogue with our SME group toward the end of the calendar year, and then bring this item back up to the Stormwater Commission, hopefully in January, but we'll assess as we make progress on that overhaul of the manual. Secondarily, we had a request at the last Stormwater Utility Commission for updates on the Naranja Trail subdivision. That is a development proposed due north of the Highlands Mobile Home Park. Currently, that project is being reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission and ultimately the Mayor and Council. So we didn't feel it was appropriate to have as an agenda item here, but I did want to give an update that the Stormwater Utility will be providing a review of the drainage, the watershed study, the drainage study associated with any development that's currently ongoing. But there is no resolution to it as of now. So for those that are seeking more information, I suggest you look at the Oro Valley Planning website for updates and keep your eyes and ears open on the Planning and Zoning Commission for their public meetings. And that's all I have for today. Thank you, Commissioner and Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. I would like to move on to agenda item number one, review and approval of the September 17th, 2020 meeting minutes. Commissioners, you have all had a chance to review the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections that need to be made to the minutes? And is there a motion to approve or deny?
If there are no comments, I make a motion that we approve the September 17th minutes.
I second that motion.
Urena, can I have a roll call vote? If you are in favor, please say yes, and if you are opposed, please say no.
Vice Chair Brown?
Aye.
Aye.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Aye.
Chair Kufari?
Aye. All right, so moved. At this time, I would like to move on to agenda item number two, discussion and possible action to correct fiscal year dates to 2021/2022 of September 17th, 2020. Motion to approve the status quo base rate for the stormwater utility for 2020/2021. Are there any comments or questions from the commissioners? At this time? All right, is there a motion to approve with the amendment?
So moved.
Second.
Urena, may I have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Chair Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Yes.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Yes.
Chair Kufari?
Aye. All right, motion has been approved. At this moment, I would like to move on to agenda item number three, recognition of outgoing Stormwater Utility Commissioner Richard Hawkinson. I know that we'll all have some comments to say, but I would like to turn it over to staff at this moment.
Thank you, Chair Kufari. This is John Spiker. Commissioner Hawkinson's term is set to expire at the end of December. We wanted to extend our thanks and recognize his efforts in moving the Oro Valley and Stormwater Utility forward. Rich graduated from the University of Arizona with a bachelor's and a master's degree in watershed management. He then landed a job with the USGS as a hydrologist, serving 32 years with the USGS. That's a pretty amazing career. He retired as the Water Resources Division District Chief in Austin, Texas, and then he moved to Oro Valley. He was eager to lend his experience to the town, volunteered initially on the Stormwater Utility Commission in 2001, essentially in the inception of the stormwater utility here. He was instrumental in the development of the Stormwater Management Plan and the fee that allows our group to complete our mandated EPA requirements. Not satisfied with those efforts, Rich decided to join the town of Oro Valley as an employee, which cemented the implementation of that NPDES task. So retiring from the town in 2008, Rich continued to serve the town and is currently serving his second stint on the Stormwater Utility Commission. Again, we really want to express our thanks and gratitude toward Mr. Hawkinson and his continuing lifting of the Stormwater Utility. So please, I now open it up to other comments from the commissioners. But again, Richard, thank you so much for all you've done for us and that you've continued to do. A sincere appreciation, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
I would like to add to just two things. Known Rich since he started with the commission. I did not know him as a prior employee, and I want to thank him for his support of the commission, his insight, him helping me learn more and more about stormwater, you know, as the non-engineer. And also, so he's helped me educate myself as well. So I've appreciated him, the questions he brings to the table, because he's had years of history and he has the background. So I, for one, will miss him and his support and have enjoyed him immensely.
Richard, we've only known each other, I would say about a year now. And unfortunately, we've only been able to see each other in person a few times. But during those few times, you know, speaking with each other during the meetings and then especially after the meetings, I can say that I have learned a lot from you and your experience, your suggestions, your insight into what to look for when looking at these various stormwater reports and even just life in general, kind of what to look out for. I would say your mentorship over the past year has been second to none. I do hope that you still join us with future meetings by being a member of the audience. You know, that is one way to provide your feedback. And I have a feeling that you're still going to be very involved by talking to staff moving forward. So reiterating again, thank you very much for all of your work. And hopefully one day we can meet up in town and buy you a beer.
Appreciate it.
Are there any other comments from the other commissioners?
I would also like to share my sentiment about Rich. It's I've learned so much from him during the time we served together. And I don't know, look forward to seeing him around in the future as well. He's been a real asset. And so look forward to seeing you in the future, Rich.
I would just say that the town really benefited by his education and work experience before coming here. And it was a natural fit for getting this commission off to a fine start. The commission and the town has done great things for stormwater utility, and I think he's been a major driving force in it. So thanks and best wishes.
All right, thank you all.
Yeah, may I? Yes,
please.
May I add a few words too? Rich is a man of few words. And if you know him, many of you have known him for a decade or more, as I have. But when he speaks, you need to listen and take his advice seriously. And he's really made this important changes to our program. We'll miss you as an active member, but as an inactive member, but we'll look forward to having you come back and and continue with your quiet but thoughtful recommendations on our program. Thank you so much for all you've done.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, at this time, I would like to move on to agenda item number 4, discussion of meetings and events. Mr. Spiker, please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Kafari and commissioners. I apologize, I'm hearing an echo in here. So before you, you can see on the screen here, we've got a list of upcoming events. Things to note in here, November 13th was the due date for a draft application for the FEMA BRIC grant award. We are submitting the Highland Wash project for a second year in a row now and have got that off and submitted. We will be looking forward to comments upcoming in December with a final application date. On here it says January 13th of 2021. So again, we're going to put back in for Highland Wash drainage improvements through the mobile home park there. Secondarily, you see quite a few, and you've seen this in the past, the Pima County Flood Control District Advisory Committee. What is that? So that is a commission headed up by Pima County Flood Control, of which all the surrounding jurisdictions are a part of. So Marana, Oro Valley, Sahuarita, the city of Tucson, the Tohono O'odham Nations. So we typically meet once a month. This past meeting, we were discussing some updates to the EPA's Waters of the United States ruling and the associated MS4 permit held by the county and the city of Tucson. Why that is important to us here in Oro Valley, we are a holder of a phase 2, a small MS4 permit through the state. So the ramifications seen by the city and the county will reverberate down here with Oro Valley as well. So it's imperative we understand what the city and county see from that perspective, what their opinions are in their direction so that we can further make decisions on our own. So we're tracking right along with their assessments from the Army Corps of Engineers and from the state DEQ. Decisions are still up in the air, but currently the county and city have their MS4 permits out for public comment. There's a 30-day public commenting period before those permits become finalized. We are in reception of that and are reviewing that, but it all seems to be on the up and up currently. So those are just some of the things that happen at those advisory committee meetings with the flood control district. And similar to our Stormwater Commission meetings, they talk about projects and programs. But the big takeaway recently was this federal change, which we've talked a bit about before. Other than that, again, we've got some outreach efforts going on here and some generic meetings. But I wanted to let you guys know, we did get the FEMA submittal in on time. So that's off being reviewed. And we continue to meet with our regional partners at the flood control district and the subsequent agencies.
And Mr. Spiker, I want to piggyback on that the flood control advisory committee is, like John said, is multi-jurisdictional. So it brings all the partners to the table. So we can take a look at Pima County and Tucson and Southern Arizona really in general, and see how all of our projects work together. And so everybody's on the same page. Those meetings are also open to the public. So if you guys are interested in attending, please reach out to Mr. Spiker and he can get you set up on that. All right, moving on to agenda item number 5, report and discussion of the floodplain status application on the town's website. Mr. Spiker, I'll turn it over to you and staff.
Thank you, Chair Kafari. As you guys are aware, the Stormwater Utility has been working on a public-facing web application to serve up floodplain information. Before I turn it over to our GIS analyst, Scott Bennett, who was the creator of this particular application, I want you guys to understand why we accelerated this particular item. Bighorn Fire, as we all know, was a major disaster here in town. Luckily, very few structures and no lives were lost, but nonetheless, several hundred thousands of acres were burnt, and there is a major potential for flooding. So the stormwater utility was inundated with floodplain requests. How does this impact me? How does it impact my particular property? We struggled somewhat to address the inundation of requests. This particular application has been thought of for quite some time before I landed here in Oro Valley. So I certainly want to give my predecessors credit for the concepts of it. But most of the credit really lies with Scott Bennett and Justin Turner in getting this thing off the ground. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to our GIS analyst, who's going to walk through some screen grabs of the actual application to somewhat familiarize yourselves with it. Please understand, again, we just talked about partnering with Pima County. Pima County has a public floodplain application as well. It's much more robust. It carries a lot more informational technically. But what we were angling for was a very user-friendly application here, a quick and dirty, is there a floodplain by my property? And in my opinion, we achieved 100% success in the goals that we outlined. So at this time, Scott, take it away.
Thank you, John. Hello, everyone. It's been a while since I've seen you guys. Hope everyone's doing well. To add to what John said, you know, the one with the county is also not interactive, and ours is, and I'm pretty proud of that. You can literally zoom around and see multiple properties and print the map. So I'm going to step through a brief presentation, and Justin will be the one driving, so I will just say next when we want to go to the next page. Okay, Justin?
Yes.
So the first page here is the splash screen, and that is basically a screen that you have to navigate through and agree to the above terms and conditions, basically holding the town harmless for any of the information that is distributed here. And it also says that you can't rely on this for engineering purposes. This is really just for information to begin your investigation. So if you go to the next screen, Justin. So this is really what it looks like when you open it up. This measurement tool on the left-hand side is deployed as you open it up, and there's a little arrow. I prefer to undeploy the measurement tool because it opens up more aerial imagery. But again, you can redeploy it and get a measurement of your parcel or the width of the floodplain, really just anything. And it comes in handy. It's a nice tool to have on there. Did you go to the next screen, Justin? So this is what the home screen looks like when you've hit the undeployed the measure tool. And then next screen, Justin. So this is what the home screen annotated looks like. If you can type your address into the upper left-hand corner and then hit the search, and it'll zoom right to the property that you're interested in. You can zoom in and out with it. You can go back to the home extent, which is the actual extent that you're looking at here. So say you type in an address and it was the wrong address, or you have another property that you're interested in, you can just hit the home button and it'll take you back out. Down in the lower right-hand corner, you can click on the widget in the far, on the far left-hand side there. And the other one, far left. Move over to the left a little bit. It's the one that changes your base map. So that one that's pointing to. That'll change, there's a lot of different imagery available in there. There's USGS topographic maps. There's town aerial imagery from multiple years that is served there. This aerial happens to be the only one that will print right now. Rich Freer and I are working on fixing that, but none of the maps hosted by the town right now will print any of the town hosted aerial services for some reason. We don't know why. So you have to use this, the default imagery to print your map, just an FYI. The middle button there, that's what you would print hit to print your map once you've got the information that you want. And the other one is a draw tool. So I used it, you'll see later in the presentation, you can annotate your map a little more than what the print function does. And you can highlight a parcel or, you know, I outlined one in red and you'll see that in a little while. In the upper right, there's one that you hit when you click that, it'll show the map with legend, which is always helpful. And then the other one shows the layers that are involved in the map and you can turn them on and off. Next slide, Justin. So this is what it looks like with the legend deployed. And you can see all the various floodplain types. It shows you the Oro Valley town limits and the parcels are represented as well as the washes throughout the town. Next slide, please, Justin. So this is the layer list. This is what it looks like when the layer list is deployed, and those little cyan boxes with check marks in them, you can click those and it'll turn off the layers or turn them back on if you don't want to see a particular layer or you want to see it again. Next slide, please. So this is what happened when I typed in 25 West Kaya Concordia. It zoomed right to CDO High School. And then I clicked on the actual parcel and it within the floodplain in the upper left-hand corner there, that yellow floodplain, I clicked in there. So it gives me information on both the floodplain and the parcel. You can see in the pop-up, it says one of two. And then the little arrow that I have directed the text box to, if you hit that arrow, you can toggle between the two pop-ups. So this one happens to be the parcel info. If you hit the arrow, next slide, please, Justin. It shows you what the floodplain is, all the information involved with the floodplain. So, and next slide, please, Justin. This is the result of the draw tool that I showed you earlier. So I used the draw tool to draw a red outline around the parcel. And then I used the draw tool also. You can, as I said earlier, you can annotate your map. So it's a little more information than Town of Oro Valley floodplain information as a title. Say you have a few different ones that you're interested in, you can annotate this and say, this is the floodplain map for 25 West Kaya Concordia. And then this is the end result. And that is the end of the slideshow. Does anybody have any questions on this application?
Scott, would you tell them, Mr. Justin, would you tell everyone how they could look at this application? Where are they
find it?
On our agenda today, I think there's a link to it, but
where can they get it? There's also, if you just go to the Town of Oro Valley homepage, there is a section that says maps. And if you click on that section, it will open up all of the maps that we have available, and you can scroll down to the one that says floodplain.
Why don't you share your screen?
We can't, Amy.
I can't. I was told that I can't.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's why we're unfortunately doing a static presentation. Is we could not
find an effective way to house a live demonstration so that the public could see it.
So there's multiple ways to get to this map. We also have links to it on the stormwater utility portion of the website. And we also have a link to it on the in the GIS area, I guess, maps. Like, for instance, there's another map in there that's Town of Oro Valley Street Maintenance Responsibilities. So there's a whole list of maps there, and ours is amongst that list.
Commissioners, I would like to encourage you to get on, play with the map. This is in a very infancy stage. And please help us improve on it. So if you guys get on it, play with it a little. I played it when they first did it. I'm so proud of these guys. This has been a thing we've been wanting to put out for a long time so people can bypass us, get there. They still need additional information. They call us. But you guys could be our focus group. Get on, play with it, and please send suggestions on how to improve it.
Terrific. Will do.
Question, Chair. Can we tell how many hits the map has?
I believe we can. We certainly count how many. We have been tracking the amount of hits the stormwater utility portion of the web page has been getting hit. So I assume we can certainly track this. We'll look into that for sure.
It might be an interesting indication to see if it's being picked up and utilized.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's well, and I have evidence of it being utilized. I get phone calls because my phone number is on the webpage at this time. So I've had to step people through this process a few times already.
Scott, I have a question for you and then for staff. What is the year of the aerial image that's showing up?
That's showing up that's a good question. It's imagery. It's an ArcGIS Online imagery service.
Are you familiar with
ArcGIS Online and all?
Yeah, I am.
You are?
Yes.
So it's the one that is tagged imagery, not imagery with labels. Do you happen to know what year that is?
I'm gonna guess like a 2018.
Okay. We are working on getting the map to print with our own imagery. And we now have PAG 2019. We have the county's 2018. If some bug is not letting it print. You can still look at them. You can toggle between them. But once you want to print your map, you need to go back to the default.
Well, I'm going to tell you that our Pima County maps have not worked now for 2 days. So you have us beat. we can't even load them up.
We are aware of that, Chair Kafari.
My second question is more for staff, and this could be future, but is there going to be, I imagine you're going to want to bring this to council or kind of highlight it in the future. Is there a plan for disseminating it out to the public or like a notice like, hey, this feature is now available for you?
Yes, Chair Kafari, that is that's an interesting question. Outreach in the time of COVID has been a very interesting topic. How do we reach our constituents to let them know when things like this have come up? We've certainly done some broadcasting through our web pages, through our various groups we're affiliated with, but there's been no formal rollout of this. We do expect to do additional outreach, perhaps through the Regional Flood Control Advisory Committee, perhaps through a professional society such as the American Society of Civil Engineers. This is not a brand new application, though, or a cutting edge application, if you will. It's new to Oro Valley, but this is certainly something that particularly Scott has done significant research on of other municipalities to see how they do it. What are they presenting? How are they hosting data? A lot of the data you see here is actually hosted by Pima County. The assessors is offering up the parcel data for us. The county flood control's offering up the wash layers for us. So we're in essence, taking that data and amending it with the floodplain information that we know up here. But certainly outreach is a mandate for us. It's a requirement for us. And this is a great opportunity to roll something out. We're just somewhat handcuffed in how we can do that currently. But we're certainly not opposed to it, Chairman.
Yeah, sounds good. It's new to Oro Valley, which is great. And it's a service that the public and real estate agents are definitely going to be interested in using. So, yeah, great work, Scott, Justin,
Thank
and
you.
Everyone involved.
Thank you.
Another outreach opportunity that we've uncovered, Chairman. We've started to amend our stormwater invoices by tagging, monsoon season's approaching. Please make sure you check out our monsoon preparedness guide. This is certainly an opportunity where we could stick the web link in there and let people know that this is a public service that we're hosting up. So we're going to try to turn over every stone we've got to let people know this is a tool for them to help themselves.
All right, that sounds great.
Mr. Chairman, unless someone else has something else to add, the work that is going on in our department with our GIS capabilities that we share with the our public works folks as well. This is just an edge, a corner of the data that we're dealing with. These are the floodplains and washes, the blue lines, or the washes we get from the flood control district. And the floodplains are ones that either come from FEMA or from special studies or analyses that we do in-house. This is just one example of the data that we're working with. But in addition to this, our data also includes all of the roads, all of the water courses, whether they're public or private, storm drains, culvert systems, and that all ties into our cartograph asset management capabilities. So all of this work is intertwined. So we have a database that is available on many platforms, this floodplain platform. We also have it in our GS database that all of our departments will be able to use. And then in cartograph, where we send our inspectors out and staff out to inspect the condition, if you will, of our drainage assets, and to work with our streets and maintenance department to make repairs if need be, or do an outreach to the owner of, if it's a private piece of infrastructure that they are advised of its in need of maintenance and they need to go about it. But what Scott is showing us today is just an edge or corner of the data that we collect on a day-to-day basis. When new subdivisions come in, new developments come in, that information, as soon as it's finalized, goes into our database. And so it's swelling every day, and we discover new assets and we bring them in. So that's a large part of what Scott does, and Jane Hutchins, our SWIP inspector, about half of her time is inspecting the condition of assets, and she'll discover, well, she discovered three of them today that were in need of repair and we didn't know that they existed. And it's just one of those things. Anyway, Scott has been able to use all of that behind the scenes effort and allow it to be viewed in a user-friendly fashion by the public through this floodplain app. And Scott is to be commended, and all the work that we do collectively is a reflection of what of this application. Well, thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Scott.
Are there Commissioner? I think Commissioner Hawkinson has his hand raised.
Yeah,
I just had one thought. This topic was being talked about. to get the word out to people? How about putting something in with the water bills?
Great idea, Commissioner Hawkinson. And that is exactly what URENA has been working on. We've sent out the information to the private well owners who are not tied into our water system currently. Our next outreach effort will include the 20,000 residents tied into Oro Valley Water. So we're, as I mentioned earlier, we're trying to turn over every stone we can to try to push this out. It's in the public's interest as well as ours to reduce the amount of time we might need to assist the public here. But thank you, Commissioner Hawkinson. That's a great idea.
Are there any other comments from commissioners or staff at this time? All right, hearing none, we'd like to move on to agenda item number 6. Discussion and possible action regarding support from the Stormwater Utility Commission for the staff request to town council for expenditure of funds for 3 minor damage repair and or rehabilitation projects. Mr. Spiker, I would like to turn it over to you and staff.
Thank you, Chair Kafari, commissioners. Before I turn this over to our project manager, our senior engineer here in the office, John Lynch, I want to remind you, we are not approving this particular project. What we're asking from the commissioners is an approval of support to push this up to the town council. So I want to remind folks that that is what this potential action is requiring. And I will turn it over to John Lynch.
I think John's muted.
Bear with us, folks. We are trying to get Mr. Lynch a working operational microphone. Bear with us for a second.
There it is.
I just realized that they had changed out my speakers, and it just struck me as I was getting ready to say something that I could not see where I had a microphone. And obviously I didn't. Thank you, John. I appreciate the opportunity to present these 3 small maintenance projects to the commission. Because these projects are being funded through contingency funds in the stormwater budget, they require us taking the projects to mayor and council for their approval of the expenditure of the funds for these projects. We have 3 small projects, the first of which is at Logan's Crossing. I don't know, Justin, if you can bring that one up. And this particular project deals with an equestrian trail that is owned by the town. And it's difficult to see in this photograph, but the area to the south or to the bottom of the picture there is on an extremely, extremely steep slope. And this particular portion of the equestrian trail links up with the extension of Linda Vista Boulevard, which is in this particular area upstream is not a road, but just an infinite source of sediment. And what happens is during any kind of substantial rainfall, we have a significant amount of erosion that takes place upstream of the equestrian trail, and the sediments are funneled down the equestrian trail and across Saddlehorn Place and continuing to the north on the equestrian trail. In the past, this issue has created the sediment flows extending out onto private property. And particularly in the upper left-hand corner, that property has seen a considerable amount of sediment displaced and deposited upon their site. So in 2018, the town installed rock-filled baskets called gabions. They're 3 foot wide by 3 foot high by 6 foot long, and they're connected, they're interconnected together. And to control the sediment that comes down the trail, and particularly at the property on the upper left corner of the site, to basically deflect that sediment that comes down as well as water and deflect it back into the equestrian trail. While the project is functioning quite well and the maintenance requirements for the trail have subsided significantly, we have noted a couple of improvements that need to be done. The first of which is noted at the bottom of the drawing, where you see a white line that says 24 feet. In that particular area, the baskets are rotating slightly at about a 10 degree angle. The sand area, the trail itself is very sandy, and it's kind of lost support in that area. And so we're going to remove that 24 feet of rock-filled basket and put a support foundation under it, which basically can be seen in the lower left-hand corner. That's called a 1 by 1 foot by 3 foot cutoff wall. It's a concrete cutoff wall that will support the edge of the gabion baskets. And then those gabion baskets will be reconstructed and reattached to provide the support necessary so they don't continue to rotate and infringe into the 10-foot equestrian trail. The other aspect of this project is in the upper left-hand corner again, where to provide better conveyance of the sediment and water that come down through the trail, we're going to rock line the area that's indicated by the little white circles. And you can see the approximate dimensions of that. And it's again to be more effective in capturing the drainage and sediment that comes down and forcing it back into the equestrian trail. So this project was done in conjunction with our discussions with the neighboring properties, and it's a fairly straightforward little project. But it's fairly small in that it only we're only anticipating a cost of less than $30,000 for this work. So in trying to establish some more bang for the buck or some more benefits of scale, we reached out to our operations people to see if they had projects that have similar scope that that they were being challenged with. And so they came up with two sites, the first of which is the swale improvements at Camino Viejo and Paseo Cordona. And we'll bring that picture up. So as you can see, Camino Viejo runs east-west to the top of the drawing, and there's swales on each side of the roadway that are currently unlined. And again, Camino Viejo is on a fairly steep slope, so when it rains, the swales on either side of the road erode and convey quite a bit of sediment down into the intersection. And if you look closely, you can see some remnants of the sedimentation that winds up in the intersection. So this is a real nuisance problem for our operations people, that after any kind of rainfall of significant duration or intensity or both, They have to be out there at a minimum sweeping that intersection, and in some more significant rainfalls, actually bringing some equipment out to remove and truck the sediment out, because there's really no place to push it with a broom when it gets to be an appreciable quantity. So as you can see, we're going to rock line the swales on either side of Camino Viejo, as well as on the easterly side of Paseo Cordona, where the flows actually wind up getting, they come down Camino Viejo and turn south along the easterly side of Paseo Cordona. So this is a nuisance project that has created a lot of distractions for our operations people during the rainy season. So as I say, we're going to rock line those to prevent that erosion and that sedimentation from in the intersection. And this project is estimated to be about a $60,000-$65,000 opinion of cost, with probably 40% of that just being materials, the rock and the filter fabric. Before I move on, any questions? So we'll move on to the third project site. And this is the intersection of Tangerine Road, the multi-use path that runs parallel to the south side of Tangerine Road between Rancho Vistoso Boulevard and Oracle Road, and the intersection with a multi-use path that, that winds its way into the Oro Valley Marketplace. The area that's noted, there's a little chute spillway. The multi-use path along the south side of Tangerine Road is curved, and it's on a fairly significant gradient again. So all of that stormwater runs down the curb line, and this is one of the few openings where the water flows to the south, because the equestrian path or the multi-use path that runs south from the east-west route drops in grade fairly significantly. So what we have is that little concrete chute that you can see is eroding along the side of it, and there was riprap placed in there, but it wasn't. It was done more as an emergency matter and not constructed as a swale. So along the edge of the concrete, we're going to put a cutoff wall, and then put a swaled rock riprap swale through there, and then actually also put a cutoff wall on either side of the swale to prevent erosion. And then as you can see, the swale will turn 90 degrees and into a natural drainage way that currently has some riprap in it. But again, we're going to regrade that into a swale and re-riprap it to minimize the erosion that's taking place in that area. So again, this is a small project. The estimated cost of this again is under $30,000. So all three projects combined, we're looking at a cost of about $110,000. But as you can see, with all three of them being fairly small, it would be difficult to get contractors' interest. But at $100,000 and being all very similar with regard to the construction techniques and methods and equipment and materials, we're anticipating more interest and more economies of scale as far as the ultimate bids that come in. We're gonna solicit bids through the job order contractors that we have that have all been pre-qualified for this type of work. So we're confident that we're gonna get contractors that have good reputations and are very skilled in their performance. Several of the contractors that are on that list have already done some small projects for us. The Lambert Lane project, both those drop structures were done by contractors on our JOC list, Granite Construction and KE&G, and that both did fine project. That both did a fine job on both those projects, and then a third project at the El Conquistador tennis courts, where we put some storm infrastructure in to prevent erosion, and that was done by Southern Arizona Paving, again, a project that from a contractor that is on our JOC list. So with that, are there any questions on any of these projects that the commission may have?
We do have a hand raised. It looks like Commissioner Hawkinson. Yes, go ahead, sir.
I want to commend John for his work on these three project areas and just point out that historically the issues in Logan's Crossing with that equestrian path have been ongoing and kind of an issue in the town and regarding stormwater for dating back to the early and mid 2000s. I remember looking at that site out there with Jim Hosley, probably shortly after I got on the town staff, and I know I'm pretty sure that some of the homeowners out there had done some rock work around their properties themselves to keep flows from, in getting into their personal or their private property. The Lomas de Oro is another area that had some issues from about the mid-2000s. And I think that what's being proposed, what's presented here and proposed is very worthwhile. I think it'll wrap up, hopefully, some of the issues that the areas have. And if there's no major questions, I'd propose that the Stormwater Utility Commission approve these things as the stormwater group is presenting for a presentation to the council. I think they're all three worthwhile.
Second. Thank you, Commissioner Hawkinson.
I believe, commissioners, are there any other? Well, I guess we already have a motion on the floor.
No.
I had seconded it.
Did you have a question? Commissioner Stinnett, did you have a question, sir?
No, I was just going to comment to John Lynch that they're all very well planned out. I personally bike ride past the one on Tangerine. It's a very high traffic area and it's a real benefit to the town. So I'm supportive of it when it comes to a vote.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, Joan, anything?
Commissioner Kufari, Chair Kufari, I would second. Do we have a motion for approval on the table?
Richard made a motion to support bringing it to council. And Joan made a second, so I'm going to go to Urena for the roll call for approval.
I second the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Lynch.
Changing of the guard.
So on the floor is a motion to approve supporting the stormwater utility staff to request the town council to expend funds for 3 drainage improvements. Vice Chair Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Aye.
Chair Kufari?
Aye.
The vote is 4 yeses and 0 noes.
My motion passes. At this time, I would like to move on to agenda item number 7, discussion and possible action regarding the cancellation of the December 17th, 2020 Stormwater Utility Commission regular session meeting. Commissioners, any comments, or is there a motion to cancel the meeting?
I would, Chairman, I would so move to cancel that meeting.
Second.
Urena, can I have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Chair Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Yes.
Chair Kufari?
Aye.
We have 4 yeses and 0 noes.
Moving on to agenda item number 8, discussion and possible action regarding calendar year 2020 Stormwater Utility Commission regular session meeting schedule. Mr. Spiker, please proceed with the staff presentation.
Thank you, Chair Kufari. Let's see, Justin, do you have that up here? Yes, you do. So, commissioners, we wanted to present you with the available dates. There it is. Thank you, Justin, for the calendar year 2021. As commissioners, you are aware and presented by Commissioner Stinnett, we have been doing an every other month meeting here, but officially we are to have a monthly meeting. So this is the third Thursday of every month, as you see before you. So that's what we are presenting to you as possible meeting dates for the calendar year of 2021. Should the commissioners desire to cancel meetings, we will put that into that month's agenda meeting and we will make that so. But these are the dates, the third Thursday of every month. That's what we've presented to you.
Thank you, Mr. Spiker. My opinion would be to approve these meeting dates with the understanding that we could potentially cancel monthly meetings. Are there any other comments from the commissioners or a motion to approve the current meeting schedule?
So moved.
And I second.
Urena, may I have a roll call, please?
Vice Chair Brown?
Aye.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Aye.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Aye.
Chair Kufari?
Aye.
That is 4 yeses and 0 noes.
All right, motion passes. This time, move on to future agenda items. I think what we just discussed should be on the meeting agenda for January is the possible cancellation of the February 2021 meeting. I don't have anything that comes to mind as a future agenda item. I leave it up to commissioners and staff. This item doesn't require a motion. So if there are no other comments from the commissioners, I will move on to the adjournment of today's meeting. Is there a motion to adjourn?
I shall move.
So moved.
I second.
Urena, let's do a roll call, please.
Vice Chair Brown?
Yes.
Commissioner Hawkinson?
Yes.
Commissioner Stinnett?
Yes.
Chair Kufari?
Yes. Motion. Aye. And I would like to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving coming up and a happy holiday season and new year. I look forward to relinking up with everybody in January. Richard, again, it's been a pleasure having you on our commission, and I hope that you will still continue to join us as a member of the audience.
I plan to do that.
Thanks, Joe. Have a happy new year.